Now, by now you'll be well aware that Helen Zille has thrown her hat into the ring to run as mayor of Johannesburg. This past week, she's been on a high-profile media tour, doing countless interviews. It's our turn now, and I want to go in a slightly different direction, where City Hall meets business. And this is my argument. Unless there is strong local government, the economy of the country's powerhouse is going to keep stalling, and that has an implication for the entire country. Helen Zille, a very warm welcome to you. The city's debt, corruption and decay, as you well know, are scaring off business in the city. What immediate steps would you take to turn that around, should you be elected?
Well, one of the very first things I'm going to do is appoint someone in my office to be in charge of public-private partnerships, which won't only ask business to help us solve the problems in the city, but we'll look very carefully at the problems that businesses face in the city and make it a priority to deal with those, for the simple reason that we're never going to get job creation and we're never going to get people out of poverty without businesses investing and having confidence in the future of Johannesburg. And at the moment, the sad thing is that many businesses are leaving Johannesburg. They're either going to Midvale or they're going to other places in the Western Cape. They're going to where the DA governs, and we have to show them that it's worth staying in Joburg to invest and to grow and to create jobs there, because Joburg has a great future.
Helen, you'll be well aware that overnight a coterie of South African business leaders say they've been discussing with government whether they can help revive Johannesburg. Business for South Africa says, and I quote, they'll assess whether they can assist the government and make a decision on whether to devote their resources to fixing the city. No doubt you would welcome that. How do you think you would work with that group if you're putting public-private partnership at the center of all of this?
I would warmly welcome that kind of move. And obviously, I have to look at all the business institutions and make sure that we're getting an inclusive focus. But the various business organizations, I'm sure, will have mutually complementary but different focuses. And we don't have to only do one thing. I mean, the most critical thing to try and solve is the water problem, and then obviously the electricity reticulation problem, because businesses can't work with either of those being offline. So we have to get that right. And anything that business can do to assist us in that process, other than being tenderpreneurs and sabotaging the water infrastructure so they can get tenders to provide the water tankers, that is when so-called business forums and other organizations become very unhelpful, because they sabotage the infrastructure because they see an opportunity to extract resources from the municipal government. Now, that's one form of business involvement we really don't want. We want honest people who want the place to work.
Well, let's talk about water and electricity for that matter. You'll be well aware that the city of Johannesburg owes Eskom and Rand Water a countless millions. What would your plan be to settle those debt without blackouts that in many respects the city has been experiencing?
Well, the very first thing we have to do is ring fence the money for those utilities. There's quite a bit of money coming in and more available from national government if we ring fence that money. But we've seen the example of that money just disappearing. 4 billion rand was apparently allocated for maintenance of the water infrastructure, which is a drop in the ocean compared to what's actually needed. But 4 billion is 4 billion and it can go quite a distance. And then suddenly that was reallocated, and the mayor can't tell us where it's been reallocated to. Now, that is the most extraordinary situation I've ever heard. How 4 billion rand in a budget can be reallocated without the mayor's knowledge is beyond my comprehension. I don't know how these things happen. So this is exactly where the problem lies. There's money for the utilities, but then somebody thinks there's another priority, normally to give a tender to somebody or to pay salaries of a massively bloated upper echelon of management in the city, and the money just disappears. And then the mayor can't tell you where the money for the maintenance of the water has gone. Now, that is an incomprehensible situation. So the first thing you have to do is ring fence the budget for the utilities.
Part of it, of course, is money coming in. And you'll also be aware that Johannesburg loses billions in unpaid services. How do you stop the leakage?
Well, that's a very, very difficult one. There are different levels to that problem. One is people stealing water and electricity. That's one big one. The other is 46% of Joburg's water leaking away through unmaintained pipes. And the third is people not paying for their rates and service charges. And many people don't want to pay for their rates and service charges because they say, I don't get the service, so why should I pay? So it becomes a vicious cycle. The projections for Johannesburg's revenue are usually to achieve a balanced budget, but they never meet the revenue projections, and they always exceed the spending projections, which makes it a downward spiral and a race to the bottom. Now, I'm afraid that people are going to understand that they have to pay for services. If they get services beyond the free basic allocation, which we will continue to give, obviously, because people deserve free basic services to live a dignified life. But beyond that free basic allocation, people are going to have to pay. And it may be a hard lesson to learn, but that's how we did it in Cape Town, and now people do pay. There was first massive resistance to water meters. Then we said to people, okay, we're putting in the water meters, because that gives you better control of how much you're using. And if no one in your house is using and the meter is still running up, then you know there's a leak. And if you put in a meter and we find a leak, we will fix it for free, but only if you put in a meter. And that is how we overcame that resistance. And that's how we brought the water leakages down to one of the lowest in the world in the city of Cape Town. In Joburg, as I've just said, they lose 46% of their water, and Joburg loses as much water as Tshwane uses every day. It's just an incomprehensible figure.
Would you commit to capping annual tariff hikes, yes or no?
I haven't studied the budget enough to know what's feasible. I have studied, for example, the revenue projections, the fact that they always fall short of their revenue projections, the fact that they always exceed on their spending projections. And we would like to go for a balanced budget. That's obviously the objective. And I would like to make absolutely sure that the budgets for utilities are ring-fenced, and we have to stop corruption, and we have to stop this huge bloating of the upper echelons of the management cadres in the city and the duplication of functions. And I'm hoping when we have done all of that, the budget will look a bit better and a lot more manageable and a lot more predictable for the public. And then we can say what we can promise and what we can't promise.
Urban decay has wrecked commercial property values in the city, Helen Ziller. Would you use tax breaks or SEZs, or special economic zones, to lure developers back?
Well, I would do anything possible to lure developers back. I mean, you know, I don't know if you know Davies Street in the middle of Joburg. Mm. Davies Street is a model of what Joburg could become. It is in the middle of one of the most degraded sections of Joburg. The streets around it are horror zones, something like out of a apocalypse now. And then suddenly you come to Davies Street. It's green, it's got benches, it's clean, it's got lovely buildings, all with biometric access control. And I said, what's going on here? And they said the private sector came in here and they wanted to construct student accommodation. So they went into all those totally derelict buildings. They bought them out. They've renovated them. Most of the students there are on NSFAS grants. They're paying every month as they have to. And there's security there. They're nice outside tables, chairs, benches, greenery everywhere, paved platforms and everything. It's just a different world. And I said, surely we could extend this model to the rest of the city. And the people who are responsible for that said to me, yes, we could, with a more amenable city council. It took them 8 years to get the permission to make Davies Street bloom again. So we have to get that kind of public-private partnership. There are lots of people who are willing to go into the centre of Joburg and buy out those derelict buildings and revitalise them. But it also means ensuring that the hijackers aren't in control of those buildings, and that's going to be a difficult public order challenge.
Helen Ziller, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much indeed, Jeremy.